For the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at really the first two chapters of the book of Luke. And we're going to see different aspects of Christ's entrance into humanity. My hope is that we can get ourselves in this passage this morning inside the passage as if we were eyewitnesses exactly to what was going on. This morning we're going to pay particular attention to John the Baptist, but also to the story of Mary and the announcement of her being with child. It's my hope that we can see some little nuggets that happen from each of these accounts, and that we can apply these things to our lives, and that we can also see the greater picture of what God was doing. So turn with me, Luke chapter 1. We're going to start and look at verses 5 to 7. And we know that this account occurs somewhere around 4 or 5 BC. We're told right away where the king was, who the king was, and we know that the king's rule was right around then. So Luke chapter 1, verses 5 to 7. In the time of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Now Elizabeth, she was older, and the Bible says she was beyond childbearing years. And because of that, for those that were in that situation, the common belief was that they probably had done something wrong, that they didn't have the full blessing of God. And for those who might have ever been in that situation, that is the farthest thing from the truth, and she comes to learn that. If we were to check out other stories in the Scriptures, we would find that the Bible is filled with stories of God working in people's lives when they thought they were unable to have children. Let's continue. Verses 8 to 10. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as the priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And when the time for the burning of the incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So here's an awesome detail for us to pay attention to about this couple. We see an announcement that's going to come to Zechariah from an angel. It's about a child that he and his wife will be expecting. That alone, that is an awesome announcement. But the thing that I think is important that we pay attention to is, where does this announcement come? Where is the setting? We find this man leading the people in worship. Now, a priest who would lead the people in worship, they would spend 2 weeks every year in their service to the temple. And once in their lifetime, once they got to officiate at the service of the temple. That's where we find Zechariah. This one time in his life that he gets to officiate in the service. That's where we find him. And that's where we find God showing himself to Zechariah. How appropriate is that God would choose a time based around worship to come and to share with him the news of how he is bringing forth the child who will help be a part of God's plan to share with the world his picture for forgiveness of sins being taken away. I think an excellent observation that we can take from that is that in worship, God speaks to us. That's just a little nugget right there. Let's continue, verses 11 to 13. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and he was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." Look at the initial reaction of Zechariah. It was one of fear. He was terrified. But it's in his terror that God reveals his plans and brings comfort and brings peace to Zechariah. We see in Judges chapter 6, 22 to 23, another example of one who experienced fear. Hear that passage. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." Here's the big picture for us about confronted or being spoken to by an angel. When we're working in collaboration with God, when we're not working in opposition to Him, we have nothing to fear. That's the message of the angel. You have nothing to fear. Let's go back to our passage. Let's look at verses 13 to 23. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and in power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah answered the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until this day happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but unable to speak. So the angel comes, brings a promise, quenches fears, brings answers, and brings instructions from God on this coming miracle. The angel speaks words of hope, words of something amazing that's going to come. The angel even speaks to John's purpose and to how he's to be set apart. What an amazing scene to have been a part of. This is an amazing scene that the Bible shows us about something that is on the cusp of about to happen. Something that has been promised for thousands and thousands of years. Something that is about to be fulfilled. All the prophecies about to be fulfilled. This was an amazing moment to see. Let's go back one more stretch in this chapter of Luke, 23 to 25. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. "The Lord has done this for me," she said. "In these days he has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people." Let's try to put ourselves in Elizabeth and Zechariah's shoes just a little bit more. I mentioned before that one who couldn't have a child back then, how they thought maybe that they had done something wrong. Well, here's what the Bible says about this couple. They were righteous people. Now, they might not have thought about themselves that way, but that's what God thought about them, as righteous people. They might have thought that they had done something wrong to be disallowed children. But their situation isn't a result of sin. It's a part of God's plan to use them. Now, Elizabeth, she thought she was a disgrace, but that's not how God viewed her. A positive thing that we learn about Elizabeth is this. In her situation, she doesn't hold bitterness at God. She's not angry at God. She's a woman who accepts the plan of God. The Bible says she served him faithfully. The events that happened to Zechariah, they can teach us a thing or two as well. Zechariah, he doubted the plan of God. We mentioned how he was scared. Now his fear did subside, but the greatest weakness that he exhibited was his doubting of God's plan. And to teach him a lesson, God silences his mouth. So when he exits the temple, the people know that something significant has happened to him. Now, this whole passage, this whole encounter, it sets up the coming of Jesus. One of the themes that I tried to lay out 2 weeks ago was that the arrival of the Messiah in humanity was the plan of our Heavenly Father since the book of Genesis. Jesus is the promised one who would come to crush the serpent from the onset of the fall. And since then, God has been revealing his plan for redemption one step at a time. And as we approach the New Testament, the story of God bringing Jesus into the world kicks into a higher gear. And as John comes on scene, the story kicks into an even higher gear. John the Baptist, he would be one who would pave the way for Jesus. In many ways, John the Baptist is a key player in bridging the Old Testament and the New Testament. As we hear the account of God bringing John into the world, there's a number of great themes that we could run with. We could talk about the continued plan of God to amongst his people and how he's revealing that plan. We could talk about how God, how his promises are being brought forth and being fulfilled. We could talk about how we respond to God's plan. There's one theme that I'd like to focus on for a little bit of time, though. It's the theme of wondering, what on earth is God doing? You can kind of hear those words in this couple. How can this be? We are so old. Now, this couple probably gave up a long time ago on the idea that they were going to have children. They might have even thought that there was a reason that God didn't allow them to have children. God didn't operate that way. He allowed them to have children, but in his timing. God is really teaching and showing them His plan is being fulfilled and being revealed to them one step at a time. And in God's mercy, He moves through this family and He answers two different prayer requests. You would think Zechariah, a priest in the temple, this was a family that had a relationship with God. This is a family that prayed to God. And if they had a need, a desire to have a child, you would no doubt know that they prayed to God that they would have a child. Well, that's one of their prayer requests that they probably made. The second is they were praying for the Messiah to come into the world. And in both of those prayer requests, God moves and God answers. And I think there's a lesson that we can learn from that situation, that God can answer multiple prayer requests with one event or with one answer. He did it in this account. And this family that we're looking at right now, they're not alone in Scripture as people who had received crazy news about a child coming late in life. Go to Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. We see God's announcement to Abraham and to Sarah about them having a child late in life. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year. And Sarah, your wife, you will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself, she thought. After I am worn out and all my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah was afraid, so she lied, and she said, I did not laugh. But he said, yes, you did laugh. Again, their reactions initially was a reaction of disbelief. Even in Sarah, we hear a reaction of Sarah. Here's another account, Judges chapter 13. We see another couple thinking that they couldn't have a children. But then an angel comes to them and tells them that God had other plans for them, plans to bring a child into the world. That would be Samson, who, like John the Baptist, was one set aside for the service of God. God had a plan well in advance, and He worked that plan out in His timing and in His will. One more passage of a family given that announcement. Given that same announcement. This is from Luke chapter 1, 26 to 58, a long passage, but this is the passage that we studied, I think, in Sunday school this morning. In the sixth month, God sent angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married, to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, what kind of greeting might this be? But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will be with him, the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will not end. How will this be, Mary asked, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. So an angel comes down to Mary and says something like, hey, you who are highly favored, God is with you. Since God favored Mary, He chose her to give birth to the Messiah as a virgin. Now, she obviously had some questions as to how this would happen. The angel, though, tells her not to be afraid, that the Holy Spirit would conceive a child inside of her. And the angel also reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. And that statement alone, that statement is worth repeating. Now, Mary, probably a teenager who knew the heartache that she'd face one day, but she responds with an attitude of trust. She said that she was the Lord's servant. She said that He was free to do with her what He desired. And Mary, like the others, had a mouthful of news to swallow. And this was news that wasn't even on her radar. Now let's compare the announcement that Mary is given to the announcement of Zechariah and Elizabeth. There's a number of parallels between these two announcements. First, both are given angelic news. However, the setting is varied. One is in the temple. We talked about that already in the relationship of worship. The other, given quite humble circumstances. And those humble circumstances, they foreshadow what the humble circumstances that Jesus' birthplace would have. Here's another parallel. The two, they both hear this announcement, this news from the same angel. Here's another piece of insight. Both get news further revealing the plan of God to redeem humanity and to use them inside that plan. Lastly, God worked through these couples in extraordinary ways. One, the virgin birth. Two, a set of parents who thought they were too old to be parents. God has and still is revealing His plan, the exact details, one step at a time. And His plan was to use Israel as a people that He would allow, that He would show His grace to. And John had a special place in that plan. John would resemble one who was set aside for the service of God. And John would be one who would serve as a prophet, who would speak of the restoration to come in Christ. His task was to turn people's hearts back towards God so that God could do a redemptive work in them. God's plan to unveil His plans also came through Mary. In Mary, we find the miraculous occur. We find a virgin bringing forth the Son of God who was born to die. We heard that thought as well this morning. So a quick recap of what we've looked at this morning. We've looked at some detail of the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah, but we also saw three other stories of how God came and brought forth life to families who thought, this isn't what's going to happen to me. Let's pay attention to their initial reactions. Elizabeth and Zechariah, fear, disbelief, and uncertainty. To Samson's parents, from Judges chapter 13, verse 8, then Manoah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, I beg you, let the man of God you sent to us come again to teach us to bring up the boy who was to be born. This dad, he seems a little bit scared too. More in a, how can we raise this boy to be the person that God wants him to be sort of way. Initial reaction of Abraham and Sarah, disbelief, laughter. And the initial reaction of Mary, there's a swirl of fear around Mary at first. Mary was greatly troubled, the Bible says, at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. She also exhibits a sense of bewilderment. She says, how will this be since I'm a virgin? Then these individuals are all given this news. They're given more counsel from God through the voice of an angel, and their attitude changes. So let's see how their attitude changes. Elizabeth and Zechariah, Luke 1:25. Elizabeth says, the Lord has done this for me. In these days He has shown His favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. And then from Luke 1:63-64, Zechariah affirms John's name, verse 64. We see this about Zechariah as well. Immediately Zechariah's mouth was open and his tongue was loose, and he began to speak, praising God. See, his attitude changed as well. And then Samson's parents, they were humbled by God. They were honored by God's gift to them. They desired that this life would be a life lived in service to God. And they had reverent fear of God as they raised Samson in the instructions of God. Abraham and Sarah, let's see how their attitude changed. They became accepting of God's plan, resting in His plan as well. And then Mary, she said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be as you have said. In Luke, we see Mary and Elizabeth together, enjoying and sharing each other's news. Luke chapter 1, 39-45. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed in what the Lord has said to her, for it will be accomplished. This is a great picture for us of two women accepting what God is doing in their life and trusting in His announcement for their plans. We find in them joy. We find in them acceptance. We find in them seeing and loving what God is doing them as a privilege. Mary's question where she says, why am I so favored? That is given for her so that she can explain, so that she can express how humbled she is with the news that God is doing in her life. Both of these ladies see their situation as a blessing from God. And in Luke 1, 46 to 55, we find the great words of Mary written to us called the Magnificat. Mary says this, she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things in me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever. Even He has said to our fathers." So the big question that I have this morning for us is this. What's your reaction to these announcements? Is it one of disbelief? Is it one of who cares? Is it one of fear? Or is it one of this? This is a blessing from God. This is an amazing gift that God has given to us. Is it one of wow? Is it one that recognizes that God is involved with humanity? That latter reaction, that's where God wants to bring us. And the plan of God to rescue humanity went right through the lives of Elizabeth, right through the life of Zechariah, John, and Mary, all leading to Jesus, who was born to die. But the story doesn't end there. It continues today to each one of us. And God's plan was to bring to earth His Son, the Messiah. God's plan was to rescue each one of us for our sins. When that happens to us, our lives are transformed and are brought to a new way of understanding God's life that He's given to us. If these individuals didn't understand, didn't know God, the news that they were given, it would have simply been laughed off. It would have been balked off. It wouldn't have been taken seriously. But they didn't. They trusted in God's leading. And when God gets a hold of our lives, we no longer need to put our trust in ourselves. Rather, we put our trust in Him. That's where we get to rest. Have you rested in God's announcement of His love for you? There is no better place to be than there.